let's have a brief word of prayer before we get into the word tonight. Dear God, we thank you for letting us come to church. We thank you, Lord, for the ones that are here tonight. I ask you, Lord, just to bless their socks off tonight for being faithful. Lord, I'm sure that this bunch here is probably some of the most tired folks in the church. But Lord, we thank you that they came out anyway. And Lord, we do thank you for the blessings of yesterday. And Lord, I pray that tonight you'll use the Word of God to speak to our hearts and draw us closer to you. Lord, it's not a matter in Sunday school or in the sermons, Lord, just to fill our head with facts. But Lord, it's a matter of changing us and drawing us closer to you. And I pray that that'll happen tonight. Help me to rightly divide the word of truth. Lord, fill me with your spirit. Control me completely with your spirit. And Lord, I pray that in everything your name will be honored and glorified. Lord, we just thank you for being a good God, a great God. And Lord, we just praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. I remember when I was growing up, I'd sometimes help my dad pour concrete. You know, he had one of those smaller cement mixers. I'm not sure my dad knew what a cement truck was because we would do our own. And I remember trying to get the right mix in there and getting that thing. And I remember even before having the mixer, I remember getting a great big wheelbar and mixing it up with a hoe, you know, and getting it. I remember those days. That's why I'm so built, is because of those days. But I remember trying to get the right mix and everything. Having the frame around it, pouring it in there. And then after a while, you know, Dad would usually seem to me, he'd normally cover it up with plastic and just in case it would rain. And then after a while, after a few hours, it would set up. And then once it got really hard, there's not much you can do with it. It's there, unless you just tear it out with a sledgehammer. A similar thing happens when you use super glue. You got to be careful with super glue. You end up gluing your fingers together or something. Pretty cool stuff, but if you're not careful, you'll glue something you're not supposed to glue. And the point is, very shortly with that, once you glue something together, it's pretty much stuck. I mean, it's not going to budge. I say those two examples to make an analogy. You know, a lot of times in our minds and in our hearts as Christians, we make up our mind and our opinion sometimes really quick. And once our mind is made up, it's it. Now, I'm not talking about, you know, making up our mind about the Word of God being the Word of God. I'm not talking about the virgin birth. I'm not talking about the essentials of what salvation is, because our mind should be made up. But I'm talking about in areas in which we live. And when things come up, and if we're not careful, we'll set our minds so quick that God cannot change our mind at all. And we base a lot of times our decision based sometimes the way we were brought up, sometimes just our bent, sometimes our personality and all that. But we need to be careful. We need to be careful that we make sure that we have the mind of the Lord in our opinion. Tonight, the title of the message, Letting God Change Your Mind. Letting God Change Your Mind. Now, you got to pay real close attention to that title, Letting God. You know, I'm not saying let your Sunday school teacher, I'm not saying let your preacher change your mind. I'm not saying let your family change your mind. I'm not saying let the politicians change your mind. This is a crucial distinction, but letting God change your mind. And I have preached this passage many times. Remember, we're in Matthew. And unless something changes right now, the way I'm thinking that God is leading, we'll do it a Sunday morning, Sunday night. It'll be Sunday morning, Sunday. It's a long book. It's got a lot in the book of Matthew. And I'm not even positive God wants me to go all the way through it. But we're going to start in the book of Matthew, verse by verse and section by section and chapter by chapter. Tonight we're talking in Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. Now, again, this is a familiar passage, and I realize it's not Christmas. I realize it's not even, a lot of people celebrate Christmas in July. It's not even July. It's October. Now, starting to feel like Christmas out there, as cool as it is tonight. But I don't believe I've ever heard it preached, and I'm sure that I've never preached it quite this way. Letting God change your mind. We're going to read that passage of Scripture, a very familiar passage, but please don't let the familiarity rob this passage of its blessing and of its meaning, okay? Verse 18, now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Now, doesn't it, knowing, as we talked about this morning, that the book of Matthew presented to the Jews the perfect king. And remember, the genealogy of that is that of Joseph. And you say, well, Joseph wasn't his real dad, but he was the Lord's earthly dad, right? And legally, he was the father of Jesus. So if you're going to establish him as a king, remember, you've got to go back and prove that you're part of David's line and Solomon's line. Wouldn't it make sense? I mean, you go to Luke, you learn about how the angel Gabriel appeared to Mary. But here in this passage, doesn't it make sense that this story is going to tell us how the angel appeared to Joseph, his legal father, right? Verse 19, then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately or privately. But while he thought on these things, I like that, thought on these things, pondered these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife. For that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. For he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophets, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Tonight, letting God change your mind. Point number one tonight, things often do not work out as we expect them to. Newsflash, ding, 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 ding. You say, preacher, I came all the way in this cold weather, drove over here to hear you say that things don't always work out the way we sometimes expect them to. But that's pretty much a matter of life, right? I'm sure in verse 18 here, I'm sure that Joseph was devastated. I mean, really, I think Joseph, most people will say, and I agree, that Joseph was probably older than Mary. Joseph, there's no record of him at the crucifixion. A lot of people, most theologians say that Joseph probably was not on the scene, that he probably had died. But when you read this story, if you're not careful, you read this the black and white, and say, oh, no, 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 no. But think about the feeling of Joseph. I mean, think about what he was going through. I'm sure that Mary was an attractive young lady. I'm sure that, you know, he was enthused about this marriage and loved Mary and is like, okay. And keep in mind the engagement at that point, the betrothal period was 1 year, and they did not come together in marriage, but it was the same as if they were wed. I mean, it was that serious. It wasn't like, okay, I'm backing out. You know, it just didn't happen. Okay, so keep that in mind. But when Joseph gets the news, it says, before they came together in consummating their marriage, and after that year, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. So just imagine Joseph hearing the news. I think the news came hard. I mean, he wasn't expecting that. He's like, whoa. This is a godly young woman. What in the world happened here? Because you're going to connect all the wrong dots. You're going to say, unfaithful, And through his mind, he's probably, He's probably even second-guessing himself a little bit. Like, what did I do? You know, did I not show enough attention? You know, did she not want to be married? You know, on and on. It's going through. Because last time I checked, Joseph was human, right? So I'm sure Joseph was devastated. I'm sure the news hit him hard. And if you keep in mind that 1 year of total commitment together, there was, in his mind, a breakdown in that commitment. You know, in our life, a lot of times, things don't work out the way we think they would. Now, this is Joseph's way of thinking. Y'all still with me? Okay, we're going to do calisthenics here in a little bit. Okay, is everybody ready? Jumping jacks is one of my favorites. Jumping jacks, I can do that. I used to be push-up. I was Mr. Push-up. I used to be able to do those. And the clap in between push-ups, I can do those. And I showed off at 4-H camp doing those push in between or clap in between push-ups and challenged anybody to do as many as I did. They didn't. But you can see things have changed a little bit since those days. In this story, things did not work out as Joseph expected. In our lives, the story of our lives, things do not work out the way we expect them to many times. As Gwen said in her situation, you know, just kind of having a peace about it and just kind of going through what she's been through here the last little bit, it helps to know God's in control, right? You know, things not happen the way we expect them kind of reminds you of a detour. You know, I mean, how many of us enjoy a detour? I mean, we're normally very busy people, right? We're like, okay, we got to be there. You know, we didn't allow a whole lot of time extra here. We got to be there. You know, we got to go to Junior's ball game, or we're heading to a party, or we're heading to the church event. And then we see this detour sign, and they got the cones up, and you know, directing you this way. So you head off, you slow down. It slows us down in our efforts to move on, and it's unexpected. We didn't necessarily see it coming, and there's cones up everywhere, and sometimes I love it when this happens. They don't tell you where to go after they get you off the road the first time. I mean, they're pretty good the first little bit. You know, like, okay, I'll go left. Great. And then you go, and you're like, okay, where do I go from here? And they tend to forget you. But, you know, in the long run, you eventually get there. I'm convinced there's a lot of perhaps heavenly detours as we live our life. Even for the Lord, there's a lot of detours. Gloria Gaither said, I remember I heard this quote and it really stuck with me. She said, God is seldom in my plans, but often in my interruptions. And the interruption would kind of be like a detour, you know. So things don't often work, or many times do not work out the way that we expect them to. Second point from this story, we usually can form an opinion on things very quickly. Now this one stands alone by itself, but in the context of what's going on, I mean, this guy just got bad news. I mean, terrible news. I mean, it's like his life plans are changed. And he's like, I'm forming an opinion. Boom. And I'm going to act accordingly. Can I tell you that it does not take a human being very long to come to an opinion on something. Again, those opinions many times are based perhaps on our background, how we was raised, maybe the insecurities that we might have, the human frailties that we have, and boy, just boom shakalaka, we got it, and we said, I got an opinion on that. Joseph, it says, her husband being, you see, he didn't call her husband, even though they were betrothal, in the betrothal period of the espousal time. It says, her husband being a just man. So this is a good man. I mean, this is a good man. Just before God, I would imagine is what it's speaking there, just before him. Righteous before God. And he gets this devastating news unexpectedly, and he formed an opinion, just like quick. From what I understand, there were three options available to Joseph. Three options. He could make her a public example if he wanted to. I mean, he could just, you know, let the whole community know, this woman committed adultery, and therefore, let's kill her. And she could have been, from the way I understand it, she could have been stoned to death. So that was option number one. But he was a just man. I don't think he wanted anybody to die, even though I do think his plans for his life were very seriously affected. The second option, privately break off the betrothal period. Just say, okay, this is it. We're not coming together. We're not officially having the marriage ceremony. It's over. Just quietly. But we won't make a big deal of it. You're not going to die, but it's over. Third option, go ahead and follow through with the marriage, and that would be your wife. Three options. As best I can tell, there's three options to him. Joseph, he chose option number two. Privately break off the betrothal period. Just kind of, okay, we won't say a lot about it, but you've been unfaithful. It's over. You know, you're not going to die. You're not going to lose your life, but it's over. He chose that one. Now, I have to admit, that's better than option number one. But he formed an opinion real quick. Would you agree with that? I imagine in his mind. I wasn't there, and I'm not meaning to read between the lines too quick. But he was thinking about it, verse 20. At least he was pondering about it a bit. But he pretty much made up his mind, not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. So I'm not saying it was a done deal, but at least he was leaning that way. His opinion was formed. This is what happened. This is the way I feel about it, and this is what we're going to do. But you realize that God's opinion, if you allow me that term, I don't know if God has an opinion because his is all just truth, but God's opinion was option number three. I mean, that was God's plan. That was God's perfect plan, right? Now, if Mary had aborn a baby of Joseph, it would have had the sin nature. You know, most theologians believe that sin nature is passed on through the male. I don't know what that says about us males, but not that the women don't have a sin nature. Don't misunderstand me on that one. Some of the women have bigger sin natures, if you want to quantify, than the men do. But if it had been Joseph's boy, it could not be the Messiah, because it would have been a human with a sin nature. It had to be the Son of God, the perfect sacrifice, right? Because regardless of how well they try to raise that boy Jesus as Joseph's son and Mary's son, that son would have made a wrong decision at some point and been a sinner. And when he died upon the cross, and I say this quite often because it's huge, it's crucial. If he'd have died on the cross and been a sinner, he'd have been paying for his own sins. But as the perfect sacrifice, he'd never sinned. So God had this plan. God had this huge plan, and he knew exactly what he was doing. But Joseph, at this point, had formed an opinion. And really, in his mind, I believe, formed a plan of action. At least, he was leaning that way. We usually can form an opinion on things very quickly. You know, it's amazing sometimes we in churches. I mean, you just say something. I mean, I say a lot. I mean, you know, sometimes if I say something kind of weird sometime and you're like, huh, that didn't sound. I mean, seriously, come and say, preacher, that didn't make sense. Or that didn't sound like you, or that doesn't sound biblical or something. I mean, if you tracked how many words I say and how many times, you know, four times a week I'm teaching or preaching. Four times a week. So I might very well say something. Four times a week times 52 is over 200 times I speak. So I'm very capable of making a blunder and saying something. So if I do. But it's amazing sometimes when people say something, even preachers, and then people automatically, boom! Boy, I got an opinion on that, preacher. I remember, I'm going to say that I probably shouldn't. I'm going to meddle just a little bit. Just a little bit. I'm not going to. Maybe I better not. But I was just here a little bit, just a little bit. And I made a comment about making some structural change in the church, doing something a little different. By golly, it got back to me that that's not what's going to happen. You know, it got back to me from someone. I'm like, okay. So what happened there is like, and that's not going to, you know, sway whether we do it or not. We just want the mind of God in that. But the point is, when a person hears something, they form an opinion. Quick. I mean, I could get up here and say, you know what, we're going to start a new ministry. We're going to start a new ministry to the homeless. And we're going to do this, 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 and this, and this. And inevitably what will happen is we have an opinion about that. And we'll say, oh, preacher, have you tried to minister to homeless before? Now, that's a tough thing. And I don't think we have, and I don't think we can, and I'm not sure we have the resources. And I'm not, I mean, we got an opinion. It only takes about a skinny minute for us to come up with an opinion. But can I tell you that God does not care about my opinion or your opinion? Seriously, he doesn't. I know we were helping a couple move in Chattanooga. This is Chattanooga, Tennessee. I mean, they didn't typically have harsh winters. But I remember we was helping the Cobbs move. And we worked. I was department leader in this mega church, volunteer. I wasn't a paid staff person. But working as department leader over the 18 to 29-year-old couples Sunday school department. And there was like, I think, four classes in that. And I was over those four classes. So we got to help a lot of people move, you know, moving in, moving out, changing location. These people were coming to Chattanooga to go to Tennessee Temple to be preachers and missionaries and things like that. So that's part of the reason I have the physique that I do, helping these people move and lifting these washers and dryers and everything. And it was in the teens, and it was like in the evening or nighttime. It had already seemed like it was dark. And I remember we got a hold of that washer, and there was a little bit of water in the washer, in the line. And it hit that ground, and my goodness, it seems like it froze just like that. And you think Chattanooga. I mean, that was quick. I mean, that was even quick for me coming from West Virginia. I'm like, wow, that thing hit the ground and just froze solid. You know, it happened that quick. We can come up with an opinion probably just as quick or quicker a lot of times. But he had an opinion. If he'd have stuck to his opinion, God's plan, I mean, I know God's bigger than that. God knew who it was. I understand all that. But conceivably, if God had allowed Joseph to do his own thing and not interrupted his plans and his opinion, where would we be? I mean, do you see what I'm saying? Letting God change your mind. Number one, things often do not work out as we expect them to. Number two, we usually can form an opinion on things very quickly. Number three, but what is God's view? What is God's will? In verses 20 to 23, but while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord. And I give him credit for that. At least he was thinking about it. You know? Behold, the angel of the Lord, I think he was bent one direction, but he was thinking about it, appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. He's saying, you know what? As the angel came, and where the angel isn't named here. Most would say it was probably Gabriel, but the angel's not named here. It is when the angel appeared to Mary, but not to Joseph. Then it was in a dream. And that angel tells Joseph in verse 20, fear not to take her as your wife. Goes on to say, you know, that which is conceived in her, she has not been unfaithful. What's conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. It's part of God's plan here, Joseph. He goes on to say in verse 21, and she shall bring forth a son. You're going to have a son. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, which means the Lord saves. The Lord is salvation. And then it says, for he shall save his people from their sins. So just think about this. The man is devastated. The man comes up with an opinion and a plan. And then God gets right in the middle of that opinion and plan and says, but wait a minute. And sends an angel in a dream. Says, you'll call his name Jesus. And then he'll save his people from their sin. And then fifthly, in verse 22, he says, this is God's plan. Because he said, now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying. And this is out of Isaiah, fulfillment of the prophecy. So he says, okay, Joseph, you got your mind made up, or at least are leaning that way. You already have an opinion and a plan of action. But let me tell you, God's plan is. And then he says, And I'm sure this was reassuring. You know, the other stuff, I don't know, maybe a little bit fuzzy to Joseph, perhaps. I'm thinking of myself, I might have been a little bit fuzzy on what's happening here. But notice verse 23, behold, a virgin shall be with child. And they're speaking of Mary in this prophecy. So he's like, virgin. He knew what a virgin was, right? So she didn't cheat. She was not unfaithful. She did not commit adultery. Here it is. And shall bring forth a son, they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted, God with us. I think he got the picture, don't y'all? The picture was God's going to come and live among us as the Messiah. And she's not been unfaithful. I'm getting the picture here a little better from God. Now, I tell you, it would be nice when our opinions are based upon us and not God. It would be nice if God showed up in a dream with an angel, wouldn't it? I mean, I'd like that. That'd be cool. Or bring it up to 2023. I'm okay with an email, God. Just send me an email. Or, you know, that we got so many ways to communicate. Send me a private Facebook message. Send me a text. Call me the old-fashioned way. Show up in my, whatever. It would be nice. But it doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way today. We're going to talk just a little bit more about that in a moment. You know, we say quite a bit about the Holy Spirit versus the flesh. You know, here it says the Holy Ghost has come upon that which is conceived in her, that is of the Holy Ghost. And we talk quite a bit, we preachers do, about the Holy Spirit versus the flesh. And normally we apply it to our actions. You know what I mean? We apply it to the way we live. You know, well, the devil wants you to do this. He wants you to drink that beer. And the Holy Spirit said, no, leave it alone. And the Holy Spirit says, you know, over, wrong side. The Holy Spirit over here says, witness to people. And the flesh says, no, you don't want to do that. People will be mean to you. And, you know, back and forth. And we apply it to action. But you know what? I think that same conflict goes on right here. You know, in our mind. And if the devil knows that if he can get us on the wrong opinion in our brain, that most likely we'll get a plan of action that's also not in line with God's will and his opinion, his view. You know, I'll tell you this. You know, my opinion in about $1.60, that's hard to believe. By my opinion in about $1.60 will buy you an unsweet tea at this time in my life, an unsweet tea from McDonald's. So that tells you how valuable my opinion is to God, right? Letting God change your mind. Number one, things often do not work out as we expect them to. And if we're not careful, we'll form an opinion. Point number two, we usually can form an opinion on things quite or very quickly. Number three, but what is God's view or will? Remember, we're not here to serve self. Convincing a lot of Christians of that is really tough. I mean, it's pretty much got to be a God-convincing thing. I'm not convinced God can use what I say a whole lot to change people. It's got to be God working in their heart and life. Now, I need to say it and preach it and continue to preach it, but it's going to have to be a God thing. But we don't belong to ourselves. I mean, seriously. We got to always remember, I don't belong to me. I cannot do what my opinion tells me to do. I got to do what God wants me to do. The Bible says we've been bought with a price. The price of the blood of Jesus. Man, that's precious. That's the precious price that's been paid. And we belong to Him. So who in the world am I to say, okay, God, I'm going to do what I want to do? I mean, that's not the way it works. Point number four, last point. There's four key verbs that reflect Joseph's change of mind. The angel appeared to him in a dream, but there's four verbs that let you know that Joseph got the mind of God. He lost the mind of Joseph and said, this is what God wants. I'm going to think about this the way you think about it, God. Verse 24. Four verbs in particular. Then Joseph being raised from sleep, there it is, there's one. Three-letter word starts with D, ends with D, and has I in the middle. He did as the angel, aren't my sermons very helpful with spelling? From sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him. So that shows me right there, key verb number one, he had a change of mind. He replaced his way of thinking, his opinion, with the mind of God on this issue and said, you know what, I did it. I'm going to do it. Second verb, it says, as the angel of the Lord had bidden him and took unto him his wife. Can I say this? I believe you'll understand this. I believe this is clear. That if we don't have a change of mind, there's not likely going to be a change of action. But if we have a change of mind to match God's mind, there will be a change in our action. And these verbs show it. Took unto him his wife. I think immediately. I mean, I think just lickety split. He said, okay, we're going to bring this marriage together. We're going to live together. Based upon, you know, that 1 year betrothal, which I'm not sure how far along that 1 year was. I'm not sure. Maybe Scripture says it's not on the tip of my tongue if it does, or on the tip of my brain, or however you want to put it. But wherever it was in that process, he said, okay, we're going to get together. We're going to live together as husband and wife. This is the way it is. Be married. So he did. He took. Verse 25, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son. So he didn't have relations with her. There was no question. This is of the Holy Ghost. This is of God. And then the last verb said, until she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. So called Jesus exactly what the angel of the Lord had said to call the child. It probably would have been more common to call it some family name. So in this point, four key verbs of his changed mind, the point is when we change our mind from my mind and my ideas and my opinion to God's opinion, it should show in our actions. We show a changed mind or opinion by the actions in which we take. You know, thoughts lead to actions. If actions do not show it, probably not a real change of mind. Tonight, we've talked about letting God change your mind. Number one, things often do not work out as we expect them to. Is there an amen or oh mean to that? Oh me? Something like, yeah. Number two, we usually can form an opinion of things very quickly. Humanly, you know, God gave us a brain, and we're just like, boom, that's my opinion on it. My plan of action will be. But as Lee Corso says on College Game Day, not so fast, my friend. If you ever watch that when they're predicting scores, not so fast. I'd say not so fast. Don't form that opinion so quickly based upon your brilliance, okay? Third point, but what is God's view or will? What is God's view or will? That's what we got to get in touch with. That's what we got to make sure that we have the mind of Christ. We have to make sure that we're doing what he wants us to do. And then we looked at four key verbs of his changed mind. He put it into action, if you will. You know, in both big things, I mean, I'm talking about big things like calls to ministry. I'm talking about our direction in life. I'm talking about for the young people, what college I'm going to go to, what major am I going to pursue, who am I supposed to marry. But you know what? Also in the little things, we got to approach it the same way. We can take the easy route. And believe me, most Christians do. I'll be real honest with you. Most of them take the easy route and say, you know what? This is the way I feel about that, and nobody's going to change my mind. easy route. And again, I'm not talking about doctrinal issues that we should be that firm and stand on. I'm talking about decisions. I'm talking about things that could go either way. God's will for my life. We can come up and say what God's will for our church is. I mean, I can come and say, you know what? I don't care. This is the way we're going to do it. We've always done it this way. Nothing's going to change. You just better make sure when you say that, that it's God's mind. It's God's will, right? And if you try to change something, you better make sure that it's also God's mind or God's will, right? We can take the easy route, or we can figure out what God's will is, what God's plan, what God's opinion, if you will, and set our opinion aside out of our mind and replace it with God's opinion. We can do that. That's a choice. Now, that requires a little bit of work. And a lot of times we humans are lazy. And spiritually sometimes we're lazy, double lazy, maybe triple lazy. I mean, people will break their back to be the perfect employer, but they won't lift a finger to serve the God of the universe. That blows my brain. But guess what? We can take time to figure out what God's will is. That's what we got to do. You say, how do you do that, preacher? And I'm honestly amazed. The more I minister, the more I'm in ministry, how many people have no clue on how to get God's opinion on something? Seriously. Now, some things, you know, the doctrine and what we should stand for and what we should be against and all, it's right here, okay? But God has certain things that he brings our way. When these things happen, these unexpected things, we can come up with our own plan of action or we can go straight to God in his book. This is God communicating to us. You know, one thing I remember, I believe I've shared this before, but I remember when I was in seminary getting my Master of Divinity, the preacher down there, the mega church, he'd meet with what we called preacher boys. That was more of a title for the undergrads, but for us grad students too, preacher boys. And I remember the stuff that we covered, he mainly was kind of summarizing the part of the books, the part of a book that said, things I would do different if I had my ministry to do over. And you know, one of the big things that sticks in my brain that most preachers said, they would listen to God's word more and pray less. You know what I mean? I mean, I'm going to God asking. And prayer's a good thing. But prayer is typically us talking to God, and it's great. You know, expand it. We got lots of things to pray for. I'm not minimalizing prayer, but their opinion was, this is God speaking to me. And if I want God's opinion about something, I better be spending some time in God's book. And believe me, as you spend time in God's book, you may be reading something totally unrelated to this view or this opinion that you got on your brain. But believe me, God is big enough with his word and with the Holy Spirit living inside of you. And when we go to him in prayer and say, God, I want to know your will, he's a big enough God to break through our opinions to say, this is the way I feel about it. I'm amazed at, like I said, I've been in, not at our church, but I've been in deacons' meetings before, and it's like, man, this one deacon in particular, I had two deacons at the same time. One of them really didn't care what God's will was as long as how it affected the church. And I'm like, I almost fell out of my office chair when he said something like that. Really, I almost did. It's like, well, you got to take the will of God, and then you got to think about how it affects the church, and then you do accordingly. That is foreign. I'll never buy into that. You find what God's will is, and you do it. I don't want to filter it through this little pea brain and figure out whether it's going to... You get the mind of God, you get the opinion of God, and you say, we're going to do it. And you don't do it to hurt people or to lose people or to alienate people. But folks, the Lord's coming back. It could be at any moment. We got hordes of people out there lost. We need to get the mind of God as individuals. We need to get the mind of God in our families. We need to get the mind of God in our churches and move forward. It doesn't matter what you doesn't matter what you do. You're going to offend somebody. Clarence Thomas, I've shared this before too, but Clarence Thomas has a plaque on his desk from what I understand. It says the only way not to offend somebody is to say nothing, be nothing, and do nothing. So I hope you're getting the point of the message. Whether it's a personal issue, whether it's a family issue, whether it's a church issue, we got to get our opinion out of the way and say, God, what is your opinion? What is your view? What is your truth? What do you want us to do? Again, we do that by pouring all the Bible we can into our hearts and lives. We do that by praying to God. And if we pray to God, say, God, we want your view. We want what you want. We want the mind of Christ. Don't you think God is a big enough God to clue you in on what his view is? But that's hard. That's harder than saying, nope, I got my opinion and I'm sticking to it. I tell you. A lot of families are split up because we get our little pea brain opinions in place and don't listen to God. A lot of churches are locking their doors because we put our little wee bit opinions in there instead of getting the mind of the Lord and doing what He wants us to do. We spend time in the Word. We pray and ask for God's mind and His wisdom and His opinion, His view, if you will. I have a hard time calling it opinion, but His view. And then lastly, we listen to that still small voice of the Holy Spirit. You say, preacher, that doesn't sound like an exact science to me. Can I tell you, it's not an exact science. You know, if it was, I'd say, well, okay, read your Bible, well, you know, 5 minutes and then pray for two and then, you know, shout three hallelujahs and let the Holy Spirit roll. But it doesn't work that way. It's hard work. But can I tell you, it's worth it. You know, I don't want to pastor a church out of God's will. I don't want to live in a family that's out of God's will. I don't want to be out of God's will. I mean, it would honestly scare me to death if I just said, God, I quit. Seriously. You know, preachers think about quitting. I mean, they do. They get discouraged. But you know what? One thing that keeps me in ministry is knowing that God called me into ministry. Not man, that's the mind of God. I know beyond the shadow of a doubt, God's worked in my heart, worked in my mind, led me through Scripture, led me through the Holy Spirit. I know that He called me to be a preacher. And I wouldn't give you a nickel for someone that says, I don't know if I was called or not. I was called to be a pastor. Second thing that keeps me in ministry is I know God called me here. So I don't want to just say, and it's a blessed place to be. Y'all are a great bunch of folks. You're not perfect. I mean, look at Tim back there. But your preacher's not perfect. Thank you, Tim. Touche. You had that right. But I don't want to, as an individual, as a preacher, I don't want to be out of God's will. I mean, seriously, it would scare me just to run away and say, God, I'm done. You know, I'm going to go back to engineering. I could go back to engineering. I could do a lot of things. I mean, hopefully. I served drinks yesterday. In case anybody's watching, it was iced tea. It was iced tea, lemonade, or water. Got to make careful here. That's what it was. And I think Connie and I did a bang-up job. Did working with me wear her out too much? She couldn't come to church tonight. Oh, okay, well, stress from the preacher. I can't come out tonight. But the point is, I don't want to be outside of God's will. And I hope that every Christian here, if you get this, if you get a grasp of God's will, you'll get something that most Christians don't get. Seriously. I mean, they just think, okay, I'm just going along and God's just going to hit me on the head and tell me what His will is. And usually it's nothing more than our own opinion. But if you get the concept that I don't want my opinion, I want God's mind. I want, in anything we make, the administrative board, when we make decisions, we don't need to say, well, my opinion is, this is what, we need to make sure that we have the mind of God. Seriously. I mean, this isn't just coincidental type of stuff. This isn't just little incidental stuff. I think it's the word I'm looking for. Just little insignificant. This is like big.
Why does God not bless our individual life sometimes? Because we don't have the mind of Christ. We're not doing it His way. We're not approaching it His way. We're not doing things. We're not even listening sometimes by reading His word and praying and listening to the still small voice. Again, why do families? Same reason. Why do churches? Or close sometimes. I think many times, really. You know, we're fussing over the carpet, and God says, I don't care what color the carpet is. You know, get the mind of God. Make the majors the majors. Do you know what I mean? Do you see what I'm saying? But if you get the concept, you get the idea that when I have a decision to make, or when something comes along in my life that I don't expect, just like Joseph, I don't want to mess up his plan for me. He had a plan for Joseph, a plan for Mary, a plan for Jesus. I don't want to mess up his plan for me. So I need to get the mind of Christ in all my decisions. I hope you see the importance of that. Tonight's message, letting God change your mind. If you would bow your head and close your eyes for just a moment. I'm not going to ask anybody to respond in any way, but are you concerned about knowing the mind of the Lord? Or having the mind of the Lord, if you will. Having His view on things, His truth on things, and not just your opinion. Are you concerned about that? If you're not, I would call out an urgent prayer to God right now and say, God, help me to be concerned about Your will. Help me to be concerned about Your plan. Help me to be concerned about Your view, Your truth. You might say, I'm here tonight and I care. I want God. Will. I want His plan. I want to think like He thinks. I want the mind of God when it comes to whatever decision, whether it be individual or family or church or work or anything. If that's you, would you say, God, give me the mind of Christ. I want to know what You want. I want to have Your opinion. I want to have Your truth, not just my little pea brain opinion. Would you ask God that? Request that of God. God, I want Your view. As every head is bowed and every eye is closed, knowing the mind of the Lord is hard work. Are you willing to put the work into it so that you have the mind of Christ? Again, reading God's word, praying for His wisdom and His view and His will, and listening to that still small voice. And you can't listen to the still small voice if you got all the world's noise bombarding you. The opinions of the world. Are you willing to put the hard work into it? It's easy to say, yeah, I want the mind of Christ. But are you willing? And if you are, would you tell the Lord right now, Lord, help me to put the work in, to know Your will, to know Your mind, to have Your mind in my life.